Thank you, Bruno. Thank you for the invitation. And because we have a break, so I don't have a time limit here, right? Okay. So I'm going to change the topic and from genetics and cultivars. I'm going to talk about soils and I'm going to talk about leaching. And actually, I did a little of review over the last days and created some slides to see where we are with nitrogen leaching and what's the challenges that we have today and where we should focus our research. But let me start with putting a little bit context around the problem. The problem is very simple. We need to clean the water, and we don't want to have nitrate in the water. It's a pretty simple problem, but the solution, unfortunately, is very complex. This is a map showing risk areas with high nitrate water contamination. And I have a cycle over there. It's basically the Midwest and a little bit of Nebraska, where we have a lot of nitrogen inputs. And the problem is not only there, but through the rivers, everything goes down to the Gulf of Mexico. And our challenge is to improve the water. Different land-grant universities have developed kind of different strategies how to solve this problem. And here I have two examples, one from Illinois and the other one from Iowa State University. And the one from Iowa State, there is a table over there. I don't know if you can see the numbers. Probably I have to read the first or second one. So this is a science report. It's based on a literature review of all the experimental data, what is out there, no modeling, just data, measured data, and recommended practices to improve the leaching, how to prevent the leaching. And top in the list is moving from fall to spring pre-plant nitrogen application. And if you see the number next to it, it's about 6% reduction in nitrogen leaching, and within parentheses is 25. So 25 is the standard deviation and basically reflects the uncertainty that we have around this estimate. Can be way better, can be the opposite. So it's very complex. And there are way more practices and strategies here, but the standard error is very high. And looking a little bit deeper into the problem, you see that the nitrogen leaching basically is the final process or the final product of many processes within the system. This is a simple representation of the nitrogen balance, and you see all the fluxes and processes and what is going on, and leaching is down. So to get this right, we have to get everything else right or everything else wrong. And to make things more complicated, next to it we put the water balance, because to have nitrogen you need to have nitrogen leaching, you need to have water. And so we need to start with a water balance to get right the nitrogen leaching. Things get even more complicated once we move from one side to another, because the weather is changing, the soil is changing, the cultivar is changing, and the management is changing. It's very complex. And all this generates lots of interest about the use of crop models, soil models, to give some answers and to give some indication on where we should go and how to do things better to prevent leaching. And I'm going to give you now the review and some challenges that I see with modeling nitrogen leaching. Here is a list of models that has been used in the past to simulate nitrogen leaching. I spent half a day Google search, and it was pretty easy to come up with 60 plus models. There are more than this. There are way many models in simulating nitrogen leaching. I did no attempts to classify these models into crop models and soil models or field scale or regional scale, simply because the models are applied all over the place. There are lots of papers with regional scale models applied to field problems, and field models applied to answer regional scale questions. So there is no attempt anymore to classify this. There are many differences between the models and many similarities. I have there a picture of a book, a very nice book, where it presents in very detail 10 soil models and all the processes, all the equations, everything. I mentioned before there are more than 60 models to simulate nitrogen leaching, but if you look closer, basically there are only two approaches to simulate nitrogen leaching. Either you are using the Richard equations, the complicated ones, and conversion dispersion equations and diffusion coefficients and dispersion coefficients and tortuosity to calculate the nitrogen leaching. This is one way. And the other way, the simple one, we go to typical bucket approach, and the water above the fill capacity drains to the next layer and gets together some nitrate. And of course, different models have different names for the parameters that they use, but pretty much are the same. And I find this information and this schematic in the paper from Van der Laar, published in 2014. And I like this statement, and I copy it so I can share it with you. So it is often better to have a simple model which we understand and understand the limitations of, rather than using a complex one that we don't understand. I like this statement and I wanted to share with you. Let me go a little bit further and see some numbers about the performance of simulation models in predicting nitrogen leaching. This is a study from Illinois, that was the experimental field, 10 years of data on corn yields, soybean yields, water flow and nitrate leaching. And I highlight there the performance of six different models in simulating leaching. The right column is the coefficient of variation to see what's the difference between the different models. And it's not bad, it's just 11%. So this is what it came out from this study. But I like this study a lot because they provide a kind of complete nitrogen balance. And if you see what is going on there, although the models predicted leaching, the variation among the models was pretty small, 10-11%. As we go to the other nitrogen fluxes, like nitrogen fixation, the variation among the six models was 20%. And if we go to denitrification, it was 55% variation. And if we go to the nitrate in the soil profile, what is remaining there? 1,000%. And if we go to the nitrogen balance, is it positive? Is it negative? What is over there? 876. So it's pretty easy to match one variable, and the models are all over the place. And of course, this created some criticism about the models, and there are papers talking about leaching, and I like this one. It goes a little bit more into the mechanisms. So are we getting the right answer for the right reason, or are we just modeling to get what we want to see? And we need to think a little bit more about that. Now, modeling leaching is not easy, as I mentioned before. It's the final product of many interactive processes. And lots of models today are pretty good in simulating. I will start with a list here, what I have in my slide, from high accuracy to low accuracy. I'm pretty sure without running all the simulations and all the models, leaching is at the bottom. It's going to be at the bottom. It's the most difficult. Equations and parameters values for nitrogen leaching have not been changed since the original development, and there is pressure to do better job with the leaching and understand the mechanisms. To do that, we really need better data. Without better data, we cannot build better models. We need to understand this one. And we should not have very high expectations with models. Now, something else. Until we get this better data, what else can we do today to improve the modeling of nitrogen leaching? I put here a conceptual equation, the way that I'm thinking about leaching. And I say that leaching is a function of three different, compounds. The first one is the mechanisms within the model. And usually we pay too much attention on the mechanisms. And there are more things associated with nitrogen leaching. And the number two that I have there are the assumptions that we are making. And the number three are the soil and the management inputs to the model. There is room for improvement in the second and in the third category. It's not only the mechanisms. So we have to pay equal attention to everything. So it's difficult to measure leaching, I agree. But there are other things within the system where we can measure. We can measure roots. We can measure ET. We can measure drainage. So we can eliminate lots of small parts of the equations and came up with a good estimation of leaching. And regarding the assumptions, we really need to set up the model well, where to know where we are and what we are modeling, and to avoid lots of errors, and also to get better soil inputs into the model. Here are a little bit of graphs that I got from literature to show about the first category, the mechanisms. So on the bottom left is a kind of sensitivity analysis, I don't remember the name of the model, and you see in the x-axis is denitrification and the y-axis is leaching. So the higher the denitrification, the lower the leaching, and the other way around. And we have to find what's the best parameter value to get both right. The next one, the next panel, the next figure is experimental data, not modeling, and this shows a kind of that's recent published in Field Crop Research. In the x-axis is the water table in the profile, it's shallow or it's deep, and the x-axis is the root depth. And we find a very strong correlation. The deeper the water table, the deeper the roots. And the next one, I was a kind of lazy of running simulations and making a nice graph, so I came up with this conceptual. In general, the higher the rooting system, the lower the leaching. And we need to pay more attention on the roots and how the model simulates the root system in order to get a better estimate with the leaching. And another important thing that I found with my research is when we run the model across 20, 30 years and we want to see long-term patterns, it's good to consider changes in genetics. For example, the grain nitrogen concentration has decreased over time, and for example, from a nitrogen concentration of 1.6, now it's around 1.2, and if you do the conversions, this is about 25 kilograms nitrogen per hectare. Basically, this is the amount that is deleaching on average. So little things to add in the model, we can get better estimations. Now, a little bit more about the assumptions. And I use this picture a lot when I talk to my students to understand what is going on in the soil. This is 1D profile, assuming this is the soil and you have a little water there. And what we do, free drainage is the most common way of operating simulation models. Water comes from the top and leaves the profile at the bottom. So this is one way, and the majority of the models and all the calibration data behind the models are based on this approach. But there are areas where it's not this case. We have a little bit different situation. The bottom of the profile is shielded, and the water is over there and creates the water table. Or it can be the other way around. Water enters into the profile, and we have the capillary rise, and this influences all the simulation process. And in more complex systems like this in Midwest, we have tiles. So the tiles throw out an amount of water to give more space for the roots to explore and take up the nutrients. And the water that flows into the, into the tiles is not from the rain, it's from the groundwater. For this tile to drain, the water table should be very high. And in Midwest, in the first slide, I show where is the nitrogen contamination. And here is what is going on in the Midwest. The number of fields with tile drainage, and it's about 60%, and this is an underestimation because we don't have a good map of where are the tiles, so the real number is much higher, and this shows the situation that we are dealing and we want to model and make a prediction. Few numbers about the water table. On the left is Ames, Iowa, and on the right is DeKalb, North Illinois. Two main production regions, corn regions, and what you see is the depth to water table for three different years, for the last 3 years, and basically you see that the water is always there, and it's about 1.5 meters. This is what we measure about the root depth, and with the black arrows I show where is the unsaturated zone and where is the saturated zone. And looking at this data, and usually when we talk about leaching, we refer to downwards movement. And my question is, if the water is saturated, where does this nitrate go? And when the water goes up, this means that we have a nitrogen flux upwards movement. How do we capture all this? And one more question that I want to add here is, what if we consider the nitrate in the groundwater? How much does it change the nitrogen balance? So if we think all these uncertainties and opportunities which is around, then we probably move away from the mechanism and changing the nitrification or other coefficients and deal with other problems which might be more generic and give better solutions. There is some concern, and I agree with that, that with 1D models it's impossible to deal with the water tables. Well, I have seen lots of publications, and from my own work it seems that it's very possible to simulate water table dynamics over a long term with 1D models. Of course, if we are talking about extreme situations with very high slopes, there the lateral movement might be high. But in general, 1D models can simulate water table. And if we can make protocols how to set up the models in different regions, this might help us get better the right answer for the right reason. And this is an example with the upstream stream. On the left, you see a field with tile drainage, and you see the unsaturated zone. It's over here. And in the field without subsurface drainage, and you see we have flooding risks here and lots of water in the profile. Now, another thing that I found interesting and also confusing is how do we define nitrogen leaching? Usually when we modelers get data from experimentalists and say what's the depth of the leaching, and the answer is below the root zone. And in modeling, what we consider as leaching usually is the bottom of the profile, which is not the same thing. And also the root zone is not fixed, changes from May to July. So we need to be careful how we interpret some data. And also we need to be careful if we compare leaching from tiles and leaching from tile fields. It's not the same. And usually we have an average 30 pounds, 30 kilograms per hectare per day. This is not all over the place. And I have a table here from the Illinois Nutrient Reduction Strategy. And I have some average values there. Usually in tile fields, the amount, the average leaching is about 40 kilograms per hectare per year. And in the no-tile fields, is four times lower. It's about 10 kilograms. And this goes back to the equations where all this nitrate goes and how we get the nitrogen balance. And also, it's a little bit of recent research about lysimeters. We also need to be cautious how we interpret some data, because how we set up the lysimeters affects the results, the bottom boundary conditions. There's a nice journal paper there in 2016. One more point I want to make is about the inputs. And usually, let's say we want to simulate this field. Next thing that we're going to do is we're going to go to Surgo or another soil map and grab numbers. So I wanted to set up the model in one field over the last 2 weeks, and I used the Surgo map, which is within the Google Earth engine. And what I did, I grabbed the numbers, the soil organic matter, the sand and clay, everything fine. But I had a little bit extra time, and I was playing around to see what else is there. And I saw this profile and say, okay, I'm familiar with the A horizon and B horizon. But what is going on with the small letters? Can we get some extra information from there? And then I click on some links there, and I got some extra information. So I believe if we look a little bit harder of what is out there, we can select better parameters for the models. For example, here you see below the 53 centimeters, there is a small letter with a G. Who knows what does it mean? Yeah, and if we go a little bit further, what does it mean? How can this inform the models? Saturated. So this can help us a lot. And also, this is a nice example, because one important thing that goes into the leaching is how we partition the soil organic matter into fast, pools, medium, and slow. So getting this information, we can do a much better initialization of the model. So we can get way more information out of the publicly available database and get better estimates. And now I have a couple of graphs from modeling work that we did in Iowa. This is published in Field Crop Research. And what you see here on the left are simulations with continuous corn in Iowa. And the top panel is drainage for 6-7 years. And the next one is the amount of leaching. And the bottom one is the grain yield. And the other three slides is the same simulation but with a cover crop. Cover crop is pretty much the number one strategy to reduce the nitrogen leaching. And we have to simulate this one. And we usually make assumptions. We use a wheat model, and we terminate it earlier, and we get the emerged behavior of the system. But and we do lots of assumptions there. So one thing that we found important for simulating drainage and leaching is the surface cover. It changes everything. It changes evaporation. It changes the water in the soil, and it changes everything. So it's not a mechanism, it's what we give into the model and how the model simulates some processes. So we need to pay a little bit more attention there and root from velocity interactions with the water tables. That was also important. We changed nothing in terms of mechanism. These four things we changed, which are scalable. We can better mapping this one, we can move the model from one place to another. And in the literature, when I was doing my review, I found a couple of papers with sensitivity analysis of parameters and mechanisms. I found nothing about initial conditions and management. And I asked my student, Rafael Martinez, to run a simple simulation, just 50,000 simulations, with different management inputs and initial conditions. So it was a factorial with different weathers, different hybrid maturities, nitrogen fertilization rate, nitrogen timing, planting timing, the previous crop, the initial, the starting nitrogen, and the depth to water table. So results for yield, of course, weather plays a very big role, and then the hybrid plays another big role in the nitrogen. Now, going to the tile drainage, which is the driver of the leaching, 64% of the variation comes from the depth to water table. And this brings the importance of the water table and study more and figure out what is going on with this. And the other 15% comes from the weather. So these two are kind of related, but the weather affects the water table and this goes to the tile drainage. And if we go to the nitrogen leaching, what you see here is that the depth to water table is about 34% of the variation, and the residual nitrate is about 19%. Here we are. So if we add these two together, and if we do a better job in finding where we are with residual nitrate and where is the water table, this can greatly inform the simulation process and come with much better estimates of nitrogen leaching. We can eliminate lots of our uncertainties. 50% of the variation immediately goes out with two simple measurements. And we did the same analysis for soybean, but I don't think I have much time to deal with that. Okay, Bruno. So this is my last slide. So from this mini review that I did, the first summary point is the current models are very flexible to give the right answer of nitrogen leaching. Of course, we have to tweak some things over there, but it's very flexible, can give any answer that you want. We have a lot of models. I counted 60. I know there are more than 60, likely more than 100. And instead of building more models, it's better to leverage the strengths of different models to make faster progress. Number three is the scale. So we need to better inputs to the model and more inputs to the model to start doing scaling and to move from one field to another and dealing with all this temporal variability that Bruno explained earlier. And among many processes parameters from this review and my previous work, I will say the depth to water table and denitrification by depth are the two most unknown things that will help us a lot. And of course, within the box are the things, the components that I explained through the presentation. And that's all. Thank you. And I will stop here.
We have a break, but we can just continue a little bit of discussion since we didn't have much time for questions for the previous speaker. So let's start from Sotirios, and then we can just go more random with questions. Any specific questions for this last presentation on nitrate leaching? Yes, Tim.
Preferential flow.
What's the preferential flow?
The big port.
Well, that's complex. I don't know. I'm honest.
It's very hard to quantify. It's hard to quantify, not just the preferential, like the inputs, like how do you know? You have to make assumption, I guess. But
well, it depends on how you see and where you are and how you run the simulations. Everything has an effect. Everything has an effect. But that's a good point. Yeah.
I have a question for you. You said the cover crop is an important management practice to reduce nitrate leaching, but I kind of challenge that a little bit because in the Midwest, the losses of nitrates when you plant the cover crop, they're already far down the depth of where the cover crop could use. Because of the weather and winter and the total biomass of a cover crop, it's really small. I mean, at the most, they may take few kilos, but the big front of the nitrate leaching may be at 1 meter deep. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that the results actually only 1 year they reduced, but the rest of the time they were exactly the same with or without. So I think the biggest impact of a cover crop is much more about soil erosion, retention of soil.
You are absolutely right. Across this 7-6 year period, the average nitrogen nitrate leaching savings by cover crop was 4%. That's all.
Yeah.
And if we move from the percentage and we go to actual numbers, it was a single digit. It was a very small amount.
Right.
And in terms of erosion, there is big potential for cover crops. In terms of leaching, there are lots of things going on. In some year, it might have a big impact. In the other year, might have the opposite one.